Greetings, everyone. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Hebrews, the 2nd chapter and the 12th verse. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the third story taken from the 5th chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People. The chapter title is Farmer's Market. The title of the podcast today is Going to Church. Before we get started with our story, I'd like to talk to you about the experience I've gained in writing that might help you in your writing efforts. And one of the things I've learned is that you'll never completely be finished in your writing. But the goal of completing a particular book project is achievable. However, you'll find that when you complete one book, there will always be more material in your mind to complete another one. So writing itself is a never-ending process. I believe one reason why many don't start on the journey of writing professionally is that they believe that at some point there is an apex, a culmination to their writing efforts. The problem with this trend of thought is that often you set the bar so high for yourself that the completion of a book seems to be too difficult to attain. But I've learned that there's no perfectly written book. The idea is to minimize the number of mistakes that you might make. With the acceptance of what's realistic for you to complete, then the task of writing and completing a book will seem reasonable to accomplish, and you'll be more likely to get it done. The fact of the matter is that writing is a thought process. I've said in previous podcasts that you're an author as long as the material you want to develop into a book is in your mind. Being an author is a process that transfers that material from your mind onto paper, whether it's through handwriting or typing on a keyboard. And it's a never-ending process, as I said earlier, because there's always something in your mind that can potentially become material for a completed book. I like to use playing basketball as an example of a successful writer. To be the best basketball player you can be, you have to always be practicing your craft, how to become a better player. I know I've heard that the great Michael Jordan, during his playing career, never really stopped playing the game for a prolonged period, even during the off season. During the summer, when you'd expect him to be on vacation, he'd be practicing someplace, trying to improve his game, and to get ready for the next season. And I can point to players who are in the game today at a professional level, like LeBron James and Steph Curry, among many other top players in the NBA, who keep the same degree of excellence as Michael did. And the extra work is not just to be the same player from year to year, but to get better. And in order to do that, in the case of basketball or any other sport for that matter, you have to practice on a regular basis to improve your talents. Improving on your gifts or talents is beneficial to anyone regardless of the profession. And it's certainly true in the profession of writing. It's a constant activity of either actually writing or thinking about what you're going to write about. And you know what? That last part is so important. That is, thinking about what your book will be about. Then documenting a plan of action before you sit down to write your first sentence. Now, that word documenting is very important. It means that you make an outline of what your book will be about. So first, you need to develop that outline. Keep in mind, though, an effective outline that serves as a guide might be simply listing names of the chapters that you expect to make up your book. And another thing I want to mention, you know, having taught geography, I know about maps. And in driving long distances to areas you're not familiar with, many of you older listeners know about roadmaps. And a roadmap, just like a GPS, is designed to get you to your destination. Like going to a physical destination, think of writing a book the same way. That is, you're headed to a destination. And that destination is your purpose. But start with a purpose that is connected to, first and foremost, to your knowledge of what each chapter will be about. So take it one step at a time. First, think about the material that will ultimately make up your book. Then, concentrate on the specific things you want to include in each chapter, beginning with the first sentences, which will make up the first paragraph. Then a series of paragraphs will develop a section in that first chapter. From there, you can move on to the next section, beginning with connecting sentences and paragraphs, making up that section, and so forth and so on. Eventually, you'll have several sections that will make up the first chapter of your book. Now, we'll get on with our story after a break. Welcome back. The Hargrove family was dedicated to going to church and trying their best to abide by the golden rule. Jerry and Karma tried to instill into their children the value of studying the Bible and keeping the faith. The church they attended was John's Temple, where their dynamic pastor, Reverend Edward Nisi, taught them values they believed were scripturally based and contributed to a stable home environment for the kids to be nurtured. To have sound home training and to have Christian principles that would benefit them later in life were very important to both parents. Pastor Nisi introduced several new programs to the church, and his managerial skills were second to none. Both Jerry and his wife supported their church financially, and while there were a variety of ways to give, they chose what worked best for them as a family. Jerry was in full support of the church's policy of soliciting funds from church members and others by having various functions such as dinner sales, car washes, and anniversary events to pay for such things as the salaries of the pastor and church administration, church utilities and mission work, as well as the building fund, which was a major generator of revenue to help carry on basic church operations, especially the physical maintenance of the structure. The advantage of these activities was that they helped the church to become a strong, cohesive unit, and the fellowship worked very well together on common causes for the good of the congregation. For John's Temple, the spirit of cooperation superseded any division or conflict that might have arisen from members working so closely with one another. This mutually supportive atmosphere was a byproduct of all the positives associated with the church. It had full attendance every Sunday, and more than that, the people were willing to give for the sake of the church prospering financially. Pastor Nisi taught that giving should be a joyous thing, and that all should want to help without reservation, because it is through the church that God's kingdom can be established and advanced. While the Hargroves were giving to the church what they could and fully supported Pastor Nisi, they certainly did not see the results that they felt were promised in the scripture. Jerry often would ask, "I wonder why are we not seeing the results of our giving?" While they were giving liberally and doing so cheerfully, it had become a strain on the family budget. As these things went through Jerry's mind, he wondered how his situation could be turned around. Jerry realized that he and his family would have to practice patience in waiting for his financial situation to get better. In the coming weeks, he encouraged his wife and kids in the belief that things would get better financially, but they would have to trust that God would do it in his own timing. Before long, the church changed its policies regarding its members' giving practices. Unfortunately, this happened as a result of Pastor Nisi's sudden passing, which forced the church to find new leadership. While many members decided to leave after Pastor Nisi's death, Jerry was a part of the group that stayed and trusted that God would provide the able leadership of a new pastor who would be just as effective as Pastor Nisi. Jerry thought to himself, what better way than to see what God can do as he has done in the past in helping our church to survive and flourish, this time under new leadership. The sudden passing of their pastor was certainly a traumatic event that had never happened in the church's history. The situation prompted many members to think about biblical stories of how God's people overcame a loss, like Moses being taken just prior to God's people entering the Promised Land, but having Joshua replace him to lead the people to their destination. Also, they knew fully well the biblical story of Solomon, who followed David as king and was another instance of God's people flourishing in the face of losing their leader. After the death of David, Solomon was successful leading the people and building the temple. Yet another example of how a loss turned into gain during biblical times was the situation of the Apostle Paul, who, along with the disciples, carried on the message of Christ after his death and resurrection. Stories of these heroes of faith, among others, motivated Jerry greatly and encouraged him to stay at the church despite the loss of its pastor. It also affected, in a positive way, many other members of the church who remained in the midst of adversity because they too found strength from these biblical characters and how they faced hard times. Jerry was confident that the church would continue to flourish under new leadership. In the face of this traumatic experience, the congregation was forced to think about how they could move forward without a leader of Pastor Nisi's experience. He was an exceptional orator, as well as a great leader who was instrumental in the church's growth over the years. Everyone needed as much faith as they could muster to get through this tragedy. But many long-standing members of the church could not withstand the loss and left for greener pastures elsewhere. The members who stayed concluded that by sustaining their faith in what seemed to be a negative situation, they would nonetheless continue to see the church prosper somehow under new leadership. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. A new pastor eventually was appointed to John's temple, and his name was Reverend Henney. Like Pastor Nisi, he became an effective leader with gifted skills in public speaking and management. After his appointment, Pastor Henney slowly began to deliver his brand of leadership to the congregation. Over time, the people who decided to stay in the church slowly became accustomed to Pastor Henney and his methods of administration. The congregation accepted their new pastor to effectively usher the church into the future. One of the things Pastor Henney wanted the church to change was its name from John's Temple to Faith Tabernacle. He contended that the name change would be more indicative of the new policy the church would adopt under his direction, and that was to initiate tithing as the primary tool to raise funds so that the church could prosper even more. Jerry was eager to support the church's new doctrine that would focus on tithing to support the various activities and functions of the church. After a meeting of the church's board, the majority of the membership accepted this new policy. Pastor Henney encouraged the congregation to abide by the tithing concept as presented in both the Old and New Testament scriptures relating to giving to the church and the manner in which it should be done. He made the distinction between the Old Testament's amount of household income that is given, being a tenth of the inflow, and the New Testament's focus on the attitude in which finances are given. Pastor Henney promoted the view as presented in the New Testament, to give cheerfully and without any reservations about giving up a portion of your finances, as expressed in the tithe, for the church to be sustained and to assure the growth of God's kingdom. But Pastor Henney didn't stop with the tithing concept. He also admonished the membership to be more frugal in their personal finances and practice effective money management. Oh, the word money management wasn't very popular among some members because they felt it delved too much into their personal finances. Well, some of those members ended up leaving the church too. But Pastor Henney pressed on with his ideas that were new to those who decided to stay, including Jerry and his family. To deal with personal money matters, Pastor Henney brought into the church financial planners and advisors to assist members with their money issues. These professionals often introduce the congregation to such things as 401ks, mutual funds, and practical spending habits based on family income. Pastor Henney anticipated that a combination of adhering to certain spiritual laws like that of tithing together with practical money management strategies would help members of the church individually as well as collectively as a church body to enhance its financial standing. Jerry was in agreement with both the promotion of effective management of personal finances as well as being committed to the tithing concept, which was new to him. But he was willing to try almost anything to turn his financial situation around. Jerry soon began to realize that the reason for his financial quagmire was that he was not managing his money the way he should. The previous pastor certainly didn't focus his attention on family budget matters. Pastor Henney, on the other hand, preached that while the focus of a person's giving should be giving a tenth of your income before all other responsibilities are satisfied. But he also stressed that those debt responsibilities should be satisfied as soon as possible. In the pastor's mind, this would enhance the sincerity of giving by everyone, leading them to give without reservations and giving in a cheerful manner, as the scriptures indicate. Let's take a break and we'll be back to finish the show. Welcome back. Financial concerns are a central part of every household's thought process. As the Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. So, if we are not careful, financial woes can affect in a negative way even the strongest of families. Jerry and his family in our story certainly was affected by their financial difficulties, so much so that there became friction among family members because of the lack of money to satisfy what some thought there were things that they could not do without. The kids, for example, couldn't understand why they weren't getting the kinds of gifts on their birthday like some of their friends were getting. But Jerry took the initiative to deal with those kinds of issues and other concerns with the help of their new pastor, Pastor Henny. The new pastor instituted the concept of tithing to the congregation, and it appeared to Jerry that this might be a solution to his family's financial issues. The following scripture is commonly used to support the concept of the tithe to assure financial independence and increase, and it comes from the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, chapter 3 and verse 10. It reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." As we continue with the series of stories in our current chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, we'll see how the concepts of both money management and tithing will contribute to the solution of Jerry and his family's financial problems. Well, that's all for today. Remember, whatever you may be going through, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.